The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan's big electric switch. Scrappage is now available on your old car when you switch to a 100% electric Nissan Leaf.
Well, if you get the virus and you're one in three that is hospitalised and you're one in maybe 100 that is seriously imperiled, one of the people who could be saving your life is Dr. Tom Ryan, intensive care consultant in St. James's Hospital. And he's taken time to talk to us because there's this new report out from the European Centre for Disease Control, and they're assessing the COVID-19 situation across Europe. And it is scary when they say that one of the countries they're most concerned about across the entire Europe situation is Ireland's ability to treat coronavirus patients in intensive care could be the quickest to be overwhelmed in the EU, according to this ECDC, European Centre for Disease Control report. Tom, maybe talk us through this warning.
Well, thank you, Ivan. I suppose the problem is we started from a low base of having very few ICU bed numbers, in that we would have half the ICU bed numbers that they have in Italy, and we'd have a fifth of the ICU bed numbers that Germany has. And so that leaves us in a vulnerable position with regard to expanding our ICU. However, fortunately, we've had a warning in that we have seen what's happened in Europe over the last two or three weeks. And if we are then to follow the same pattern of other European countries, it gives us an opportunity to expand our ICU beds as quickly as we can.
Could you define what an ICU, like, people are used to visiting someone in a hospital and they see a drip and they see, you know, oxygen thing from the wall and so on, and various different things around a hospital bed. What's the difference between a regular hospital bed and an ICU bed?
Well, an ICU bed is an expensive piece of kit. It costs about €1.5 million to build, and it's expensive to run then. It costs about €1 million a year to run, because you need staffing, you need nurses and physiotherapists and occupational therapists and medical physicists and a whole group of people who support that ICU bed. And then you have key infrastructure for the ICU bed, in that you need pumped compressed oxygen and pumped compressed air to support life support machines, the mechanical ventilators that are needed for the corona crisis.
And how many ICU beds do we have?
We have about 250 beds in the country, and that's about 6 per 100,000.
And where are they spread?
They're spread all around the hospitals, but primarily in the major teaching hospitals in Dublin, Cork, Limerick and Galway.
So, for example, what's the story in James's? James is our largest hospital, isn't it? So what's your ICU complement?
Well, normally we have about 30 ICU beds, and they're split between general ICU beds and cardiothoracic beds. And we have some for people who've had heart surgery, and then we have some beds in a burns unit. And so what we're doing now is we're working with administration, and we're identifying all the potential sites where we could put a mechanical ventilator. And we plan to expand the ICU out those areas within the hospital. And we think we can double or possibly even treble our number of ICU beds.
And if elective hospital treatments are stopping, could you convert operating theatres, recovery theatre areas to ICU beds?
Well, see, to run a mechanical ventilator, you need compressed oxygen and compressed air. And so we'll try and expand to every site in the hospital where there's compressed air, because that's the key limiting factor. And so we'll expand into areas like coronary care units, emergency departments, burns units, theatre recovery areas and theatres themselves. And we'll do whatever is necessary so we can support as many people as possible.
But one of the big announcements on Tuesday was that all of the private hospitals were being taken over by the state for COVID emergency. Surely the Black Rocks, the Martyrs and all private and all those would have equivalent facilities.
they might have some facilities, but they wouldn't be capable or have the teams of people that you need to deal with large volumes of patients with complex medical problems. And so they, although they may have beds, they wouldn't have the number of consultants or junior doctors or all the cohorts of nurses and all the paramedical staff and auxiliary staff that you need to support these beds. And I'm talking about, you know, all of the physios, dieticians, pharmacists, healthcare assistants, all of the people that work together as a team to support a patient in an intensive care unit bed. And it's likely if they do take over those ICU beds, there's a possibility that, that staff may have to go out from the public hospitals to run those beds.
So let's fast forward to this surge that we're anticipating. The good news is that there won't be the 15,000 cases now this time next week that was feared. And we've done everything to try and flatten the curve. The most harrowing thing we've seen in Spain, and particularly in Bergamo and Italy, has been this triaging, where there just weren't enough ICU beds. And we've had a statement earlier in the week from ICU consultants collectively. Just tell me the type of horrendous situation that you could be placed in, Tom.
Well, I think in the first instance, we need to dramatically expand our capacity to provide ICU care. And to do that, we need immediate access to more mechanical ventilators, ICU-type ventilators, and more ICU-type monitors. And I understand the HSE is getting a delivery of these this equipment soon, and hopefully they will distribute them out to the hospitals that need them in the immediate future. And hopefully we will never be faced with a situation where we have to deny a patient who has a prospect of survival, that we will never have to deny such a patient appropriate care if we get the equipment we need as soon as we can. And what I'd say,
yes,
apart from the ventilators and the monitors, what we desperately need is protective personal equipment for the existing staff. Because if we can't protect our own staff at the moment, then it'll be difficult or impossible to sustain any expansion of ICU capacity for any meaningful length of time.
Well,
we
have been pursuing that issue very vigorously throughout the media, and we've been told that there's some 60 flights or something that at Sunday the equipment is coming in. What is the particular short? Is it goggles? Is it masks? Is it gowns?
It's goggles and visors to stop staff who are exposed sometimes to aerosolized viral infection in the atmosphere, and to stop that being sprayed onto their face and eyes onto any of the parts of their exposed skin. And we particularly need goggles and visors and FP3 masks and gowns. We need everything.
We're told in that regard of PPE that it varies from hospital to hospital. How is James's fixed?
I think we have a few days' supply left. That's what I understand. But it's we need assurance that we're not going to have to expose our staff to infection. Our staff need that insurance so that they can come to work in the assurance that they'll be safe.
And that is absolutely critical, absolutely critical. Tell me this, why do we have such, you know, the Sláinte Care report, which set out the future of a decade of our health service, you know, said we needed 2,600 extra acute beds, but the whole emphasis was on community and primary care. I don't recall it saying, you know, the big problem was ICU. Have we made a policy error in relation to ICU beds?
I think that you'll find the Intensive Care Society and the Faculty of Intensive Care have been advocating to double our ICU beds for the last two decades and to double our ICU staffing, because when you compare Ireland to other EU countries, we have half the number of ICU beds and half the number of ICU staffing as other European countries. We have been trying to get additional resources for intensive care, but really over the last two decades, we haven't managed to do this. And in fact, over the last 10 years, I think the number of ICU beds has slightly decreased.
Indeed. And tell me, what's morale like amongst ICU teams?
They're a surprisingly positive bunch of people. So they're working away and they're a bit apprehensive of what's coming down the road. They have a fair idea of what it's like because they've seen it in Italy and Spain. And they're trying to improvise so that they can care for vastly more patients than they're normally used to caring for. But they're getting on with it and they'll try as best they can. But they need PPE, they need ventilators, they need monitors, and they need all this stuff immediately.
Finally, Tom, you've been around the block. Are you optimistic?
Yes. I think we've managed this. I think we hopefully will get the support we need in a timely manner from the HSE. We're continuously engaging with them at hospital level and group level and then at professional level. And hopefully they will provide the support that we need so we can care for more patients.
My thanks to Dr. Tom Ryan at the very front line of intensive care consultancy in St. James's Hospital, providing life-saving treatment for people. Just a couple of texts that I wanted to come to. Kathy asks, maybe you can confirm if carpenters, etc. are allowed to work in people's houses. My neighbour is getting an attic room done. Seems weird when it's proposed to isolate. Well, the rules are the same for all construction and service operators, that you just must observe the social distance of 2 metres. You must make sure that they maybe come in with masks, that they're isolated while they're working and do the job and sanitise the area before and afterwards. And like from Tom Ryan, I mean, the message is we need to keep people out of ICU. We need to keep the numbers down. And Mark in Dublin 15 makes this point. I was shopping in my local supermarket and 4 staff were having a chat practically cheek to cheek. The message isn't sinking in. No manager about to talk to. We have to get serious. Well, when you talk to the likes of Tom Ryan, you see how serious the final end tally will be for people if the numbers get out of control. We'll be crossing to Leinster House next to get the latest in terms of the Emergency Measures Public Interest Bill, which is passing through the Dáil on a special one-day sitting.